Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, get your ears perked up and get your minds ready to buzz and roll, because we're going to show you this morning how you have the power to win. Yes, my guest this morning is Laura Boynton King, but before we go to Laura, I want to remind you that we are going to be giving out the phone number for you to call in, 877-876-5227 later on in the hour. That's 877-876-5227. This program is all about empowering you as a person. And so this morning, you're going to get a real good dose of the power to win, how to achieve your peak performance with hypnosis and NLP. Laura, you are just such a delightful person. And I have to tell you, anybody that loves horses is definitely a good person in my book, because I absolutely have a passion for them. Don't know why, but I just love these gorgeous animals. And you have such a phenomenal photograph of one on the front of your book.
Thank you. I really think it turned out nice.
It did. It turned out wonderfully. Now, Laura, I want my audience to know a little bit about you. You're a certified hypnotist and a founder and president of Summit Dynamics, an LLC. It's a consulting service dedicated to helping people attain their goals through hypnosis, NLP, and self-hypnosis. You've gone through all types of training that make you a very, very competent professional at this. And, well, you've done something that I think is so special. You've incorporated your work in with the love of horses. And I was just totally appreciative of how you put your book together relative to these wonderful animals. You're a certified sports hypnotist, and you have been very much, like I said, involved in neurolinguistic psychology. Now, you began studying this about 25 years ago. Tell us a little bit about your own personal story and the journey that brought you to where you are today.
Well, about 32 years ago, I had a lot of problems and a lot of depression and suicidal tendencies. I actually attempted three times, but nothing happened. And my parents pretty much gave up on the traditional areas of what we were doing with me and found a hypnotist, and her name was Dorothy Gates. And she saved my life. So I'm a product of hypnosis, because hypnosis is what turned around the reprogramming of my 88% of my brain to want to live, to enjoy life, and to get rid of the things that were keeping me sad and depressed. And so I just feel like, knowing that how the hypnosis helped me through the years, I practiced it through all the life, the challenges that came my way. Never really thought I would do it as a profession, because I would always come out and visit Dorothy in California and do lots of mentoring with her, and figured when my children went off to college, I would come out and work with her. Well, she passed away 8 years ago, and I came home from the funeral and I said to my husband, what am I doing for the next 50 years of my life? And he said, you do it. And at that point in my life, I didn't think I could do it, but hypnosis helped me do it. I used hypnosis to learn how to public speak, learn how to have my voice recorded, and I used it as my tool to create my profession. And through that, I've gone off and gotten probably about 75 different certifications, from pain management to working with cancer patients to working with golfers. The equestrian end of it, I created through a golf course that I took. I took this one on how to release performance anxiety, concentration, and peak performance. And it just, a light bulb went on in my head, and I said, I need to help the equestrian. So originally, I did a CD series of self-hypnosis CDs, and they are titled the same titles as the chapters of my book. Lions Press, the publishing company, came to me and asked me if I would put my CDs in book form. That's how the book got created. Wow. And once I created the book, it just became so people could do it for themselves by reading the book, to educate people. A lot of times the word hypnosis tends to shy people away. My mission now is to educate people that hypnosis is just a way to access your 88% habit patterns to make change. And it really does work.
Now, let's take something, and I'm going to take it from your personal space. You said 88% of what we have are habit patterns that we've gotten into. Is there a habit pattern that you can share with my audience that was very specifically not working for you in the right way? Can you describe how you were able to turn it around?
Well, I believe in certain patterns that we live in. The 88% of your subconscious mind is your long-term memory, your emotions, and your habit patterns. Since that 97% of what we do every day is by habits, things become habits, even thoughts. You know, as you know that the natural laws of the mind are that you are what you think, a thought creates a physical reaction, and your imagination is just as strong as knowledge. So knowing that that bit of information by accessing the 88%, the habit pattern that I had for depression was it was so negative all the time. All I did was believe and think negative things and just didn't think I was good enough, and different things that happened to me growing up that created that I wasn't good, but it was just a thought pattern from a child inside of my subconscious mind that had to be forgiven and let go of to move forward.
Now, you bring up a very significant point, and that is that 97% of the time we are doing things by habit. And I've had various guests on my show that say if you want to have a new habit ingrained, like if you want to get up every morning and you want to go walking 5 miles.
Right.
Oh, boy, that's just making everybody jump up and down, that kind of an example. But anyway, you want to do that. And the first thing that comes into your mind, oh, I haven't had enough sleep. Oh, I'm just so exhausted. And instead,
all the excuses.
Yeah, all the excuses. But yet there's that side of you that really wants to do it because you know that you're going to benefit from it. And maybe you don't have someone that's going to be up there throwing you out of the bed. It's 5 o'clock in the morning and saying, you know, beating a gong. You don't have an army sergeant that's blowing the trumpet for you. So what you've got to do is do this on your own. So then you're saying a person can change that habit. And they say if you do it for 21 days, then you have
a new habit
ingrained.
Yes. Or you can actually, you know, I do CDs or change your habit pattern with the use of hypnosis, because as you put the program in and get it into the 88% to be in control, the subconscious mind will adjust to that and give you the new habit pattern by accessing that subconscious mind. Because in the 12% of your brain is the willpower. So if you make that decision that you want to do it and you wake up tomorrow morning and you have that list of excuses, it's not because there's something wrong with you or anything. It's just because your willpower is in the 12%. You haven't created it as a habit pattern yet. And with hypnosis, it's easier because you can bypass the critical factor between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind and create new habits. And then anchor that in. That's where we get into the NLP, using anchoring and using the theater of your mind to create the habit pattern changes that you want and anchor that into every time you wake up in the morning.
Now, that blends in with something else that you state in your book. And for those of you who are just tuning into the show, we're talking with Laura Boynton King, and this woman has put out a book called The Power to Win, Achieving Peak Performance with Hypnosis and NLP. And it's very powerful stuff. We have such a misunderstanding for all of the information that's been published about hypnosis and NLP. We still have the dyed-in-the-wool skeptics understanding how this can possibly work. Well, I don't know that we understand 100% of the mechanics of it, but it does work. Now, Laura takes it a little bit further. It's not just hypnosis. You use different tools, Laura. You use words, pictures, illustrations, and icons. And you state in your book, it's a powerful combination to get the most out of the information that you're presenting in this book. And I love what you say. The peak performance is just a thought away, because it brings to me a saying in show business: no matter what's going on, the show must go on, and the peak performance is in you. And I think so many times life gives us some whammies. So if you really set yourself up to be that performer, you are going to be at your peak quite naturally, aren't you?
Yes, and it's all, if you think about it, it's what you perceive and what you say as your thoughts. Your thoughts create what you do. Since all we are is the sum total of our life experiences, in a nanosecond, we can choose to be in control of our thoughts. And since the natural laws of the mind are, which they're written in all psychology books, they're everywhere, there's nothing hocus-pocus about it, is that a thought creates a physical reaction and that we are what we think. And so if our thoughts are creating a negative response or a negative feeling, it's that ability to say, wait a minute, I deserve better than this. I need to learn how to rethink, because since the subconscious mind, the 88% is literal, it doesn't have any analytical, rational reasoning ability to dissect a thought. It just gives you what you tell it. There's one principle and one thing that's taught in the book. It is about the subconscious mind doesn't hear not or don't. If I say don't think about the black horse, what are you thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
So if you take just that simple concept that the subconscious mind not hearing don't or not, it hears to do it. Don't eat the chocolate cake. Then all of a sudden you're eating it. It has nothing to do that you're a terrible person or that you shouldn't have it or all that information. The subconscious mind heard eat it. So it's the concept to learn to cancel a negative thought, because cancel has no residuals. If you cancel a thought, you're getting rid of it, then you need to replace it with a positive. I'm choosing healthy food or something that replaces it. And I teach everybody, all my clients, that if you can't come up with a positive thought while you're in transition of learning how to be positive with your self-talk, think of a purple elephant. Well, technically, what in the heck
okay.
is a purple elephant? It's something to change the thought, to create another thought to change your physical reaction. See, you laughed. It gave you, your endorphins just got released in your brain and you feel better.
Just thinking of a purple elephant at 11 in the morning is just really great.
Don't you like that? You hear my clients love it. I had one golfer, she was a professional golfer. She was playing in Africa, and she called up one day. She says, I made the cut today, Laura. She says, but let me tell you what, I thought a purple elephant I must all the way around. I said, good, because then that negative chit-chat of the conscious mind dialogue, was it destroying your process?
Mm-hmm.
So you can have peak performance.
Mm-hmm.
Because the subconscious mind, the 88% with the habit pattern, she knows how to play golf. My equestrians know. I had one lady who is, I'm in Wellington, Florida. We have a lot of horse shows here, and the season is during the winter here. And I had a lady who came to me one day, and we worked on several issues for fear and different things in the Grand Prix ring. And she came in the next week. She had gotten a really good placing and was doing really well. And she said, you're not going to believe this, but I really did go in the ring thinking of that purple elephant. It worked. I was relaxed. I was aware. I was focused.
And well, she said, I'll just keep in mind that purple elephant. That's
going to
follow me
elephant.
Wherever I go.
I get a little purple elephant on everybody's desk.
Someone's a real difficult person, you say, you're a purple elephant.
That's right. So cancel the difficult part and then just thank the purple elephant. It is.
Oh, my goodness. You could do so much with that. What a wonderful thing to teach a child.
Oh, isn't it?
What a wonderful
thing. I love working with children.
Oh, yes. Now, I wanted to mention something. You bring two people into the forefront. I know you had this wonderful lady, Dorothy, who was your mentor. You also talk about Dr. Milton Erickson and Virginia Satir, and I'm familiar with Virginia. I cannot claim that I've read all of her material, but she really set a whole new precedent in working with people, and families were her focus, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And so she really set a precedent at working with people and trying to make their lives better and help them get along. What was it that Virginia found out, Laura, that has made such a tremendous impact with NLP and hypnosis?
The connection between the mind and the body and the ability to make that change, the ability to connect through the process of how the brain works. Once you get that concept, once that is open and delivered consciously to the brain, you can be aware of all of your thoughts and be aware that you can change them. That process is open to everybody to be able to acknowledge how that connection goes through the, well, they call it the NLP process, the neuro-linguistic programming. It's the neurons of the language of the mind, which opens up that door of ability to make the change.
I like your statement, imagination is more powerful than knowledge. I've been aware of that for many, many years, and I think you can be aware of something, but not always recognize its full power. And someone gave me an example years ago of saying, if you were to walk on a plank that's a foot wide across from one roof on a high-rise building to another, do you think you'd be able to do it? And they said, the power of your imagination can literally freeze you. And I've had experiences that did exactly that to me, where I became totally immobilized just because my imagination went 10,000 miles an hour in the wrong direction.
Which, since a thought creates a physical reaction, that's why your body froze.
Right. Because it was saying, I've got to take care of you. Wait a minute, kid. You're telling me this is danger. So you're not moving.
That's right.
And that's exactly what happened. So I can relate to that. In fact, I was on a side of a mountain going up, and there was a cliff, and I made the mistake of looking down. Boy, was that a mistake. And I literally, no one could get me to move. I mean, absolutely could not move. There wasn't one muscle in my body that would respond to any coaxing. And it was deep breathing that finally enabled me to relax enough.
Because you got oxygen to the brain.
Right.
And that breathing, and then you, as you concentrate on your breathing, your thoughts change their pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So as your thought changed its pattern, you changed your thought and something else got your attention.
Yes. Yes. And that's something where you address this. Now, by the way, I want to let my listeners know, too, that your book, The Power to Win, is filled with all of these wonderful photos of horses. And I have, again, a very, very strong love for horses. But you, in here, you say deep breathing increases relaxation, it slows the metabolism, muscle tension decreases, brainwave shift from fast beta to slower alpha.
Alpha.
And then focusing your attention. You talk about the rule for a successful self-hypnosis sessions. Tell us how someone could do that. And you've got wonderful, wonderful scripts in here, just absolutely awesome scripts. But give us just a little bit of an idea.
How to do it yourself.
Yes.
Well, technically, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. When I work with somebody, it is just, I'm a facilitator. I have the ability to, I've learned the techniques, I guess because I've been hypnotized so many times too. I've learned the techniques and how to do it and what a person needs for different things. But if somebody has something they want to make a change in their life, in the book I go through different processing of what words, how to use words like try, to avoid words like try. If you're always trying, you never accomplish. Hope. Hope is always something that's out there that you hope happens. It doesn't give it a concrete basis of that it's going to happen. You're always hoping. Problem, can't, and not. All those are similar to what we just talked about a moment ago about the words of subconscious mind not hearing it. To do the tips for auto-suggestion for yourself, it is to do it in the I am, to make it as the outcome. To place it out in front of you, as that's an NLP technique, to see it, feel it, believe it, and own it, that it is real for you in the outcome way of looking at it. Outcome versus a goal. A goal is always something you're attempting to achieve. An outcome is visualizing it, seeing it, and imagining it as if it becomes real. So taking that theory and that process to make your own suggestions, you have to put together words and telling yourself the way you want to be, to for positive self-talk, to say instead of, a lot of people, everybody talks about stress. I had a client this morning, stress, attached to her word stress is I hold my breath, I get my heart starts beating, I get panicky, and I'm this and I'm that and the other, and I pretty much go, okay, let's change some of the connectors to that word. I handle stress and tension easily, automatically, and naturally. My mood is calm and relaxed. To be able to reframe, readjust the thought processes with the negative and create the positive to how you want the outcome to be. If you have fear, what does it mean to be fearless? What does it mean to not have fear? To figure out what the positive way of writing that is, that I'm cool, calm, and collected every time I go in the show ring. Every time I step in the ring, I breathe and I relax. I use a lot of anchors where I anchor every time you sit in the saddle or hold the reins, you automatically breathe. to visualize and activate the process with the brain, the participation between the brain and the body, the mind-body connection. So as you visualize it, your conscious mind draws its information for the subconscious mind. My one example for self-talk and self-programming is when you want to make some affirmations to yourself when you lie in bed at night, when you start to drift into sleep, you're starting to go into alpha and down into theta as you drift into sleep. That's the time to say positive things. What we have as a tendency is to worry then, to say all the things we don't want to happen and be negative and fearful, and then we program that back in. So as you're saying things to yourself, find something good to say. And if you can't come up with something good, yes, think about the purple elephant again.
Oh, that poor elephant. He's going to be in so many different dress outfits. Yeah, he'd be in a tutu, purple hat,
Pink. Yeah. I dress him up all kinds of ways. He's on a golf horse.
There we go with
he's
that purple elephant.
He's on a horse. He's everywhere.
Oh, that poor horse. I hope he's a light elephant.
He's a little elephant.
But
practice that visualization to activate the participation between your mind and yourself. To use yourself, to use your mind. I had a client come in one day, and she sat down in a chair. She looked a little perturbed with me. I'd helped her with a divorce and being happy. And I get a lot of doctor referrals for depression because they have a couple doctors in town that would much rather send somebody to me first before they put them on an antidepressant. So she comes in, and she looks at me kind of peculiarly, and she says, "Laura, are we manipulating my brain?" And I went, "Well, pretty much. What are you doing in the negative?
Twilight zone. Do, 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 do."
Wouldn't you rather manipulate your brain in the positive?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you rather feel good all the time?
Well, that's what advertising is doing, is manipulating the brain, isn't it?
Yeah, to go buy the antidepressant. The little bouncing ball across the screen. I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it.
Yes, and here you are offering an opportunity for people to understand, and you have wonderful scripts in here.
Thank you.
But where they can incorporate this themselves, where if they wanted to make a tape recording and wanted to listen to it,
yes,
and reinforce what they wanted to reinforce. That's what I found, too, very unique about your book. You're not trying to make this a great, big, huge secret saying, "I know this wonderful thing, but you can't know anything about it, but just me." That's not what you're saying.
No,
and I really respect and appreciate that, because I think you never can get it out to everyone. That's a physical impossibility. But each and every person that's willing to invest in themselves and is willing to read and learn will then be able to utilize this. And that's great. We've got about a minute. Can you tell us Jason's story? Jason was that 11-year-old boy who has been writing for a number of years. And focus was so important to him. How did you teach him how to focus?
Well, technically, every part of the brain people can take and you can take and focus and allow the brain to have a habit pattern of focusing. So therefore, you just put the program in that you focus at task at hand. That's actually the verbiage. You can practice certain things on the conscious level, but really and truly it's all about the habit pattern, the program in the subconscious mind, how to focus and tell the subconscious mind that it does focus, to wire it in that way. I mean, technically, we all have anchors in our lives. So I anchor in the subconscious mind the ability to focus when you start doing that task. We're all programmed, if we drive, to stop at a red light. A red light is an anchor to the subconscious mind to stop. So what I do is, since we know the brain can be trained that way, rewired that way, I retrain someone's brain that doesn't focus easily,
mm-hmm,
to anchor in whatever task at hand they're going to do, that they automatically focus. Like either, sitting in the saddle, going in the ring for the jumper ring, or for dressage people, starting to do the test, that automatically everything going into their space, that they become, nothing else matters outside of that. I had a girl that came to me, and we worked on, like I did with Jason, we worked on focusing on what she's doing in the ring. And she first came to me, she was a little unsure, and I did it. And one of the things that bothered her was somebody videotaping her. Well, she rode ponies, and she was she rode quite a few of them. She was a really good little rider. And so I got her, told the subconscious mind that she focused a task on hand. It didn't matter how many video cameras were out there. Every time her subconscious mind saw a video camera, she focused more on her class. So I used the video camera as a anchor.
Mm-hmm.
So then she came back to me the next week with a list of things she wanted me to do. And number four on the list, could I block out her trainer? I go, no, I can't do that, honey. You got to keep your trainer.
Well, we are just about out of time, Laura. You've got a wonderful sense of humor. We've learned about purple elephants, not pink ones, but purple ones, which makes morning just so much brighter. But the power to win. This is so important because it's not just running a race. The race is with yourself. How do you want to see yourself as a winner? Laura Boynton King can help you with that. Her book, The Power to Win. I neglected to say we have two books as a giveaway. So you can call in to 877-876-5227. We're going to be going to a break. Laura, quickly, give us your website so that people will know how to reach you.
It's lauraking.net.
lauraking.net. That's LauraKing.net. Laura, it's been an absolute delight.
Thanks.
Enjoy this wonderful day and keep up the good work.
Thanks. Remember to always keep your thoughts alive and keep them positive.
And don't forget the elephant.
Oh,
purple.
Please don't forget the. But yes, they cancel. It's an override a negative.
Have a wonderful day, Laura.
Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break in just a moment. Don't you go away now, because we've got more good things to share. No more purple elephants, but you never know what we're going to come up with. Donna Sebo here. Don't you go away. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Now, I was so engrossed in talking with Laura King. I wanted to let you know we have two books to give away for The Power to Win. And believe me, this is a power-packed book. So if you're wanting to make a change in your life and you'd like to get a free copy, or if you'd like to talk to me this morning, give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. Now that's 877-876-5227. And should you find that you want to, Don will be answering. He's the engineer. He'll be answering the phone. And if you want the book, tell him, and he'll take your name, address, and contact information so we can get that to Laura so the book will be sent out to you. So, again, and also if you want to chat with me, 877-876-5227. Now, I want to be sure to mention to you, and you're going to be hearing about this all through August, too, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. This is an event that is very close to my heart, and I'll tell you, my spirit just absolutely loves it because it is an event that takes you back into the 16th century. And if you love to get dressed up in costumes, or if you love seeing people in costumes, well, this is an event that you're going to want to attend. Now, it's being held the first three weekends during the month of August at the Mentor Creek Ranch in Gig Harbor, Washington. People fly in from all over the country to attend this wonderful event, and I want to let those of you listening to the show know about it. Now, if you'd like to find out more information, go to the website, WashingtonRenFair.com. That's Washington, R-E-N-S-A-I-R-E. It is three weekends of great family fun. I'm going to share some more information with you later on. But don't forget, go and get your tickets at WashingtonRenFair.com. This is Donna Sebo. I believe we have a caller this morning. Welcome to the show. Your first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. This is Linda. I'm calling from Florida.
From Florida. Where in Florida?
Boca. Excuse me. Not Boca. I used to live by Boca. Cocoa Beach, Central
Ooh,
Florida. Yes.
That is such a lovely area.
Yes. I've spoken to you before, and I was listening to your show this morning. And I wanted to make a few comments. I was listening to Laura talking about, and I've been hypnotized, and I think it's very important for the listeners to know. Laura seems very qualified. Unfortunately, I didn't have such success, but listening to her words, I agree with her totally. How profound just saying, I'll try, or maybe, instead of saying, I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to say that my mother had a few of her lady friends that went where they taught themselves how to hypnotize themselves for weight loss. It was three of them that went together.
Oh, really? Now,
yes,
tell us about that. How did they accomplish that?
You know, Donna, to be honest with you, I saw remarkable results, but unfortunately, I was too young to appreciate it. Now that I'm older and I realize, because I would have jumped on the bandwagon with them, but I remember them going to see this doctor. Now, this was in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they actually took classes, because there were three heavyset ladies on our block. They took the classes, and they would do the self-talk every day.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm older and, like, I've had past life regression, I've been hypnotized, I've had the acupuncture, it's very important you do your homework and you go to a good hypnotherapist.
I think that you've made a very good statement there. One of the parts of experience in life is that you will encounter people that maybe do a good talk, but there's not the rapport between yourself and that individual, and so there's something missing. And I think that when it comes to hypnosis, if someone is really skilled and there is a good rapport between the person that's doing the hypnosis and also the person that wants to be comfortable with, there has to be a level of trust. And I love what you said about your mom and her friends doing this on their own, because that's what Laura encourages.
Well,
she has wonderful scripts in her book.
Well, Donna, to be honest with you, my mother, it was her friends, but my mother was always on the thin side. But like I said, I had a few pounds to lose, but I was too young to appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my teens, my late teens.
Oh, sure.
To appreciate it. Now that I'm older, in midlife, I realize the power of the words. And like I was telling you, I never once had a hypnotherapist tell me, don't say the words, I'll try, or maybe. Now that I'm older, I realize how powerful it is when you can say, I can,
mm-hmm.
I will.
Well, again, you have to think of the people and what their experience and what their training was. It's not unlike with many physicians today, many people in the medical field. Nutrition wasn't something that they gave 50 cents worth of time to. Now they're realizing they must, because the public is becoming more educated than they are. And sort of causing a sense of embarrassment in a way. But we are, that's something that I think empowers us as a person, how fortunate you are.
Well, I was reading your gluconutrients when you had a commercial about
mm-hmm.
your other website when I was waiting through the commercial. And you're exactly right. It's all out there. It's up to us, and it's up to us to do the homework. Because we have to be careful. There's a lot of hypnotherapists that go to these weekend seminars and then they put a sign in their window, and that's basically what happened to me.
Well, but how very fortunate you are to learn. I'll just make this comment, and that is that many years ago when I started into the work of mind, I encountered all kinds of people that exhibited all kinds of talent, and I encountered all kinds of people that were phony baloney. And I'm so grateful for all of them. In fact, that's something that I've said to people over the years. Don't be afraid to explore. Because you need to know what is going to be right for you. And the only way you're going to find out is by exploring, asking questions, investigating. And I think there's a sense of complacency many times we have. I know I've done it. I don't know of anybody that doesn't at one time or another. Well, we just assume that because someone makes a statement, oh, this is what I do, that they're going to be good. They are not necessarily. But you will know. I have said this to people over and over again, and I've been in the work of mind for a long time. When you find that person that you are comfortable with, you will know when that person is right for you. It is not something that is going to be a woo-woo special. It's not going to be a magic bullet of any kind. There's just understanding and knowledge. And just like Laura talked about this wonderful woman, Dorothy, who was her inspiration and her teacher up until the time she passed away, And there is a wonderful example where she ended up carrying the mantle, that's how I describe it, of
yes,
a woman who taught her everything she possibly could. And then when she passed on, then Laura was able to move on, and her husband recognized it and said, hey, you go do what she was doing. She has utilized it in a different way, but it is something she's still passing on her knowledge to other people. And I think you're a very fortunate woman to be able to recognize what is not with integrity, what is not good. And you can come from a positioning of not being afraid, but being discriminating. Congratulations. There's a lot of people that never get there.
Well, I think, Donna, it taught me discernment. I have grown so much. It taught me discernment, and I'm grateful for the lessons that I have learned. And I want to stress to the listeners also, I know you were talking about hypnotherapy, but even with past life regression, even if you don't have a good therapist with that, I experienced that. And again, it wasn't really a qualified person. And the power of their words, you have to be very careful. You have to use discretion. And
yes.
I don't mean that to be negative. I mean that in a positive way.
That is correct. And we discriminate in so many things about our lives, and that is our right and privilege to do that. Dear, we're going to have to take a break. Linda, thank you so much for calling in.
All right, thank you.
And it's been a pleasure.
Okay, Donna, should I give the guy my name and number for the book or no?
Sure, or you can call my 800 number and leave the information on my voicemail for me.
Okay, Donna, thank
all right.
You. Have a good day.
You too, dear.
Bye-bye.
800-872-8852. That's
I'm
my
sorry,
office number.
872?
800-872-8852.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you, Donna.
You're very
Bye.
Welcome, Linda. You have a magnificent day. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. And if you'd like to get a free copy of Linda's book, call us at 877-876-5227. Or if you'd like to chat with me, I can light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight if you like. Don't forget, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, don't go away. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. And by the way, we've got a special announcement that we'll be coming up with perhaps by tomorrow, so we'll be sharing that with you. But I want to remind you a very special event is coming up, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. You're going to hear me chatting about this every single day. Why? Because I've been involved with this wonderful organization for a number of years, and I'm going to be participating again this year. And it is such a wonderful family event. You can feel the ground tremble with the pounding hooves of great war horses. Yes, they are really there. They're going to be charging down the list, carrying armored knights. They're going to be jousting for king, queen, country, or maybe it's going to be the hand of a fair maiden that will be on the sidelines. And you will hear all kinds of fascinating sounds. When you step through the gate of the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, you step into the 16th century. You'll see a pickle lady selling her wares. You'll see all kinds of personalities that will be on the grounds. Costumes, oh my goodness. Remember, I said it's the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. It is fantasy. It is so much fun, and you can come in costume, too. Now, this is a great environment for kids. They've got games, they've got equestrian events, Celtic dancing, music of all types, and they have 8 stages of activity that are going on throughout the entire day. Now, the show starts at 9 in the morning, going until 6 in the evening. This is at the Mentor Creek Ranch, and that's at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor, Washington. People come in from all over the country for this wonderful event. If you want to save money and also time, go to their website, WashingtonRenFair.com. That's Washington, RENFAIRE.com. You'll get discounted ticket rates. When you get to the gate, you'll go right through. It is a wonderful experience. And look for me. I'm going to be located on Main Street. My booth has these bright golden yellow banners with magnificent red lions on them, so you can't miss it. And I'll be there in costume, and I'll be doing many consultations for people, and I'll have a whole bunch of books to sell as well. So we look forward to having you come out to the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, the first 3 weekends in August. You don't want to miss this. This is absolutely fabulous. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like a copy of Laura King's book. Call 877-876-5227. Don, my engineer, will take your name and your address and your information, and then we will make sure that you get that copy from her. People with their words make a difference. And Mother Teresa is a woman that touched tens of thousands of people's lives. She actually touched millions of people's lives because Mother Teresa was a woman that walked her talk. I always chuckle whenever anybody brings up her name because she's such a tiny lady. And she had a very quiet way about herself. But I remember how I was told when she went to New York City, she insisted on a parking place right in front of where she was appearing. And I thought, she may be little, but don't underestimate we little people because we have a will of iron. And that woman had to have a will of iron because she had dedicated her life to service of others. And the environment was not a pretty one at all. But there are some stories that I found out about Mother Teresa and how she affected people's lives. And one was by Richard Dickens, and he is from New York City. And he said, and during the summer of 1993, right in the middle of graduate school, he was a volunteer at Mother Teresa's Home of the Destitute Dying in Calcutta. And he never thought it would be easy, but he said, when I'd wake up in the mornings, it was so oppressive. The heat was just absolutely, it just took you over. It just made him feel like he weighed 10 tons. And he wondered how he was going to get through the day. Because first, and these were the things that he had to do. First, he had to wash the patient's sarong-like garments. And he said, they're called lungis. And he said, then I helped serve meals and clean up. He mopped the ward, helped patients with their personal hygiene. The work went on. It never ended. And he said, soon I became sick. And he said to himself, this is awful. I feel as weak as the patients I'm supposed to take care of. And then one morning after Mass, there was a sister, Jasma, that came up to him and said, I want you to wait here. Mother will see you today. She likes to meet all the volunteers herself. Well, he was astonished. He didn't think Mother Teresa would have any time for him. So he was sitting on a balcony bench overlooking the clinic's walkways, and as he watched Mother Teresa, she was buzzing around. And finally, not wanting to intrude on her schedule, because she was a very busy woman, he decided he was going to get up and leave, and then she came over, and she asked him how he was doing. He said, you know what, Mother Teresa, I'm not handling India very well. I'm just not doing well. And she said, yeah, yeah, India can be very hard, but, you know, just pray for strength, and you must come to Mass. And he said, there was compassion, but no compromise in her voice. Remember I told you this lady had a will of iron. But from her robe, she gave him a small metal crucifix, and she said, you put this on a chain around your neck. And then she put her hand on his chest for just a second and left. And he said, you know what? He said, that necklace that you gave me, that cross, remained with me for the rest of the long, hot summer in India, and then through the rest of graduate school, a career in social work, and a bout with cancer. And he said, whenever I say my prayers at night, I can still hear Mother's heavily accented English, you must pray for strength. He said, strength she shared with so many others. You have an impact on people, and I know we're out of time now, but I want you to know something. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, and I know you're going to hear me say this more than once, but whoever you are, wherever you're listening to this show, you make a difference. And just like this young man who went through his own experiences, a lot of them, and many of them were painful, you grow because of your willingness to live life. You don't grow when you sit back in a closet and ignore it. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo, and don't forget, tomorrow we're talking organic food, big time. We're going to be having Samuel Fromance as a guest, and you have a chance to find out about this wonderful industry that's growing by leaps and bounds and the challenges it's been through.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program. And we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.